A very good evening to all brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. Today is the 3rd August 2021, Tuesday class. So we will be continuing our sharing from this book, The Essence of Infinite Meanings, teaching from the adapted verse of the Sutra of Infinite Meaning, Wu Liang Yi Jing. We are at page 340. 348, the new adapted verse. Just relax body and mind and maintain some more attention. Then we will commence our half an hour of awareness-based meditation. I will off the light so that you can proceed with your half an hour of awareness-based meditation. Just relax body and mind completely and let things be at ease. And silence everything. Don't try to know. Don't try to think. Don't try to do anything. Whatever arises, let it arise. It may be a thought. It may be a tactile consciousness. Or it may be any sensation of feeling. Or any conscious moment where you hear, smell, taste, tactile feel or think. These are the six sense door that can trigger sense door activity at our form and mind, within our form and mind. So meditation is to silence our nature, our mind, to develop awareness of what is going on within, so that we can develop understanding and wisdom to finally come to comprehend clearly who are we, what are we, what is this so-called human being all about, what is this physical body with the senses and the mind or consciousness trapped within all about. Then who are we, what are we, all this can be understood if you know how to develop the silent mind to meditate accordingly. So I repeat, relax body and mind, maintain awareness, the second support. Then after that, the third support is maintain this awareness for as long as you can. Technically, it's 24 hours. Initially, it's your conscious moment away. Then later on, it can go into your sleeping moments. And finally, the last support is trust. Trust means trust your true nature to develop the movement and meditation. Means no interfering from the thought process. Otherwise, the thought will become active and it will end up as thought-based meditation. Try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness that you have developed. Then make use of it to stabilize your mind states to develop the meditation in the midst of life. It's your daily mindfulness. These are the mind states that cultivator has trained. And these are very important mind states. Well, these are the heedful mind state that doesn't think. It's just aware, relaxed, mindful within. In order to be heedful, we need this mind state so that we are not lost in thought. We are not constantly thinking, worrying, doing all those negative things that give rise to all the wrong mind states that condition our suffering and misery. Then make use of these mind states to live life, to develop the meditation in daily life, means the daily mindfulness, to maintain awareness within. The mind that has awareness is different from the mind that is heedlessly lost in thought. very different. The one that has the awareness developed, he is the luckiest person on this world. With awareness leading to heedfulness, the Buddha said, that being is destined for enlightenment. That's why heedfulness is very important. Heedfulness is the path to the deathless. The heedful never die. Whereas if you are not trained, if you are heedless, heedlessness is the path to the dead. The heedless are as if dead, which means you don't stand a chance in developing the spiritual understanding, the awakening, and the spiritual enlightenment. So that show to us how important it is for us as living beings to train this mind so that it's ever mindful, constantly meditating, and to develop it, we need to train the mind until it's ever mindful, constantly meditating. Means when you are without thought, when you are aware, that is your true mind. That is your meditative mind. You have to realize that stability of mindfulness within in order to really develop the meditation and the understanding of life, the wisdom that is needed for us to live life. Okay, you all can be seated. Then we shall commence our sharing again. Turn to page 348 of this book, The Essence of Infinite Meaning. We are at the new adapted verse. Be calm and even-tempered, carefully vigilant and humbly respectful. So these are very important mind states of a great being, Bodhisattva. They are calm, they are even-tempered, they are carefully vigilant, humbly respectful. Then be disciplined and courteous, abide by the rules and follow what is proper. Do not be tempted by evil thoughts. Diligently cultivate or practice virtuous Dhamma. Practice the four infinite mind and the six perfections. So this one we have gone through the previous session. I have explained them. We will move on. These are very good mind states. In our daily life, we deal with all kinds of people, metals and things. It is inevitable that we will encounter disagreement or disagreeable voices or incompatible personalities. So in life, I think these are very common. How many of us can achieve the state of being calm and even-tempered, carefully vigilant and humbly respectful, disciplined and courteous, abiding by the rules and following what is proper? This depends on each person's level of spiritual cultivation, which is very true. You don't have the cultivation, you don't have the Dhamma understanding and the wisdom, you cannot lie, because these are very natural things that evolve out of the form and mind. So if you don't have the cultivation, the understanding, the wisdom, the perfection, and the spiritual understanding, you cannot be in those mind state. You will get angry, you will become like unhappy, emotional, then sometimes even violent. And when you see people with different personality, which is not compatible with what you used to be or you are familiar with, then you cannot accept them for what they are. That's how conflict arises, misunderstanding arises, argument arises. and problems arise. So in life, we have seen this happening almost everywhere in the midst of life and society. So not everybody is considering courteous and have the understanding. So as a cultivator, if you cannot maintain your composure, your quality of spirituality in you when you confront all this situation, which means you have not developed them, you have not cultivated them, and it has not become a part of your nature as yet. When you have the understanding and the wisdom, when all this virtuous action or spiritual understanding and cultivation is already a part of you, then you hold the embodiment of the Noble Eightfold Path factor that can make you different. That's why great beings and true cultivator, they are different. Yeah. Whereas most people, they hardly have any training, spiritual understanding. They just react and manifest as normal human beings. That's why the world tend to have a lot of problems, unresolved issues, misunderstanding. Then you go to different society, you can see they are all at different stages of evolution. I remember in the early days, the 60s and the 50s and 70s, Asia is less developed as compared to Europe, America, and all those developed countries. Then even as Asian, we also know when we go through life in our younger days, I remember our society is such, the standard of hygiene, cleanliness is very low. We don't have proper sanitary system, drainage, and even proper hygienic approach to daily life, to the way we actually live our life. So especially Asians at that time, I remember, spitting, S-P-L-I-T, oh no, spit, we know, S-P-I-T, oh, S-P-I-T, it's like very common to us at that time, we just spit around. Then a lot of our way still we call it less civilized or uncivilized. Our hands are dirty most of the time, and we seldom really wash hands unless we need to do something or clean up or whatever. Then most of the time, as we go through life, even while waiting for buses or what, we tend to fight with each other to go up the bus. Then the mentality of rushing without much civic consciousness. So all these are very apparent during the time. Whereas if you go to more developed country, where the civilization are more evolved, you can see they are different. The courtesy, the standard of living, everything is different. So society's evolution and development does affect the behavior of people at that time. But nowadays it seems a lot of other things are happening. We are sometimes seeing the reverse. In fact, the more developed society sometimes has become like very scary compared to the earlier civilization where we go to, because they become very weird, more aggressive, and do a lot of funny things. Of course, they still maintain some of this good civic mindedness and behavior. Like certain type of civilized country, they have this fine dining and others thing where there are certain understood rules and ethics and behavior also. But most of this civilization, they need the law to regulate all this. Then they need to train people, educate people. Even in the early civilization, when China starts to develop and come up, I remember the early 80s and the 90s. You go back to China, you will know their standard of sanitary, their toilet facilities are very backward and very bad at that time. People really talk about it, but then now it's so different. You go back, you see it's so different. Of course, civilization has changed, evolved, and their IT, AI has helped them progress. And they tackle pollution, they tackle climate change and many other things. They take care of environments. So all this has evolved. So what we are trying to develop here is, sometimes we cannot generalize things. It depends on the era you are in, the civilization you are in, and where are you living. Then how you train yourself on how you develop all this understanding, it will make a big difference to the individual. Like now, even our Malaysian society, it has evolved because of the multiracial and the uniqueness of our culture, various culture and civilization. That's why we have our own special way of communication. Even the English you speak are different from the Singaporean. Even the Singaporeans' English are different from ours. And also the UK, the European, the Australian, they are also different. But they are English. So all this will adopt and evolve and become different. So even for myself, because I was sent to an English school, that's why I have to learn English. And actually it's like meant to be, because English is one of the important universal language that you must know in this civilization. Maybe later on, in years to come, Mandarin will lead, because of the way civilization evolved. So all this has a bearing on society, has a bearing on human behavior. And the Dhamma is very important to the individuals, for them to develop the understanding and the virtue and the wisdom to fit into all civilization and society. I realize without the Dhamma is very difficult. So now with the Dhamma, with the understanding, a lot of things have changed. Your understanding of life has changed. Your understanding of humanity, the environment, society, everything has changed. You can come to terms with the reality and accept them for what they are, and able to be at peace with all this. So this is where Dhamma fit in, and we really need to thank Sakyamuni Buddha for giving us this teaching, for developing this teaching and make it available until today for us all who has the affinity and the condition to cultivate them, to learn them, to develop them so that we can improve our life, transform our personality, character and understanding to develop all the essential qualities to live life. So these are very important understanding. Okay, we go back to the sharing. So that part is just a general description so that you understand. Spiritual practice should begin with forming aspiration. So this is talking about the first stage of Bodhi mind development. Forming aspiration means we aspire to plant the Bodhi mind, the seed of Bodhi, to go this way, to cultivate the Bodhisattva way leading to Buddhahood, and to take the four basic vow of a Bodhisattva. Then we must continue to persevere and sustain them from the moment on into the future until we perfect our cultivation. Whether we are monastic or lay practitioner, we must constantly be calm, even-tempered, carefully vigilant, and humbly respectful. These are the important qualities of mind for you to check your progress. You cannot maintain that calm mind if you are easily agitated, affected by environment, by situation and condition and people. Then it means you have not trained your mind. You are not able to live life the way you're supposed to live a proper human life. Behave like a human being. So the first quality is to have this ability to be calm. You must constantly be calm. And even temper means don't simply get angry, become violent, react to situation and become violent. Then the next mind state is carefully vigilant. This one is very important. Vigilant here means mindful, aware. You are not lost in thought. You are constantly aware. And humbly respectful. Not only you respect others for the way they are, you also develop humility. That's why it's called humbly respectful. We must cultivate our mind, refine our character, and this is true. Best train your mind, cultivate your mind, refine our character, act properly, make great vows, and put the teaching into practice, beginning with precepts. That's why Noble Eightfold Path, precept, sila, samadhi, panya. The precepts are the rules that we must follow. When dealing with people and matter in our daily life, we must be vigilant and treat every single person and every single thing with respect and reverence. If in all the small actions of our daily life, we are unable to abide by the rules and follow what is proper, it means we lack discipline. This is why we cannot overcome our habitual tendency. On the other hand, if we can overcome habitual tendencies of our mind, our behavior will naturally become courteous. Then when we interact with people, we will be able to benefit ourselves and others and perfect our spiritual practice. What does it mean to be courteous? A sentence is spoken softly, gently, will sound pleasant or gentle and pleasant to a listener's ear. But the same sentence is spoken violently, forcefully, will not sound pleasant at all. We must put ourselves in the other person's shoe. We know that when someone speaks gently to us, we feel pleased and are more willing to accept their words. If we hear people speak in a very harsh tone, even if we clearly know that what they are saying is true, we often cannot accept it. So when we speak courteously, have an attitude of humility and respect, carry ourselves with dignity, carefully abide by the rules, and behave properly, our demeanor will gradually and imperceptibly earn people's faith, respect, and love. So this is how we should train ourselves and develop those virtue and qualities so that we can be virtuous in those sense. Humility, courtesy, there are others too, honesty, sincerity, respect, gratitude, gentleness, pleasantness, kindness, love, compassion, etc. For example, Suji volunteers are very disciplined in their etiquette and demeanor. This is part of their spiritual training or practice. Even they walk from place to place, they line up in rows of 2, 3, or 4, depending on the width of the road. From the way the volunteer assemble to the way they wear their uniform and the way they work together, they paint a picture of order and unity. So this is good practice. It's a good way of training the volunteer and the members. From each individual to the group as a whole, the mindfulness with which they follow this discipline shows their commitment to spiritual cultivation, to be disciplined and courteous, and to abide by the rules and follow what is proper. May seem like very mundane things to do, but in doing these things, we can implement the teaching in our daily life. This is very true. These are things that are not easy, because without the proper understanding, the cultivation, all these beautiful virtue and qualities, they cannot surface, they cannot arise. So a lot of things regarding cultivation is not what people think. You cannot like try to act calm, don't want to get angry, then try to be gentle, try to be pleasant in your approach or whatever. If it's not a part of you, this thing is without much effect, because that trying is an act. You act to behave that way, which is from the thought. You don't have the understanding, you don't have those virtues, so it's not natural. It cannot manifest. That's why as you go through life, as you go through cultivation, you will start to develop all this understanding. Especially when you cultivate the Noble Eightfold Path factors. I remember during the early days, right view leading to right thought, right speech, right action, right livelihood, and the 4 right effort. They are not easy, I tell you. You have to really spend enough time cultivating them, understanding them, and putting them into practice. If you don't put them into practice, it cannot become a part of you. You cannot develop the understanding of it and the stability of it. And you must silence your mind more and more to see clearly, to develop understanding, to be sensitive, so that you are not like, we call it the self-centered way of living life. You know what is self-centered? Your thought is always moving in the direction of your own self. Means your own thinking, your own thought process, full of the ego, very egoic. Means you are not sensitive. You never feel for others. You never develop the sensitivity to be a blessing to all, to have this gentleness, kindness, love, compassion, and all this virtue, because you never train and you never see the importance and you don't have the Dhamma. When you know the law of karma, when you understand this beautiful law of cause and effect, moral causation, you reap what you sow, do good, we get good, do evil, we get evil. You plant the seed of wholesomeness, you reap the fruit of wholesomeness. You plant the seed of negativity and evil, you reap the fruit of negativity and evil. Then you will be very careful with the way you approach life, with the way you communicate with people and the environment, with everything you do in life. Because this is a nature's law. You reap what you sow. Whatever you do to people, good or bad, it will become your karmic friction and it will hit back at you. So if you are to cheat people, deceive people, harm people, kill people, all this will come back to you. Then you ask yourself, your life, is that what you want? If that is what you want, then please continue to be heedless. But if that is not what you want, if you love yourself, you value your life, then you better wake up and change for the better. If you are kind to people, people will be kind to you in return. You reap what you sow. If you are generous, you will receive back all the generosity. They become your karmic inheritance or your karmic fruition. You will receive them. So, whatever you do, come back to you. Come back to your karmic nature. That's why we reap what we sow. So determine to plant the seed of wholesomeness, the seed of virtue, kindness, goodness, pleasantness. Have virtue. Root out evil. Develop wisdom. Purify your mind. Meditate, following the advice of the Buddha, to avoid all evil. Cultivate wholesomeness. Then develop wisdom to be free from all suffering. This is what spiritual cultivation is all about. This is what Dhamma is all about. So when we have this understanding, we become different. We become beautiful. So I will read on from here so that you can develop the understanding. To be disciplined and courteous and to abide by the rules and follow what is proper may seem very mundane things to do, but in doing these things, we can implement the teachings in our daily life. So this is what we have gone through just now, and I've explained. So make a note of it. Even if we can become an even-tempered, means not act out of it, and abide by the rules and follow what is proper, this is only the beginning of our spiritual practice. In addition to taking care of our body and mind in our daily life, we also must keep our mind from being tainted by evil thoughts. This is where the four right effort come in. This is where the power factor of mindfulness come in. If you don't have mindfulness, don't have samadhi, don't have right view, the four right effort cannot arise. and you cannot cultivate, you cannot perfect yourself, then if you have not trained your mind to develop the understanding of what constitutes evil, and you don't have mindfulness to be aware of all this mind state, then how can you cultivate right thought? How can you prevent your mind from being tainted by evil thought? So all these are very straightforward. Then I will read on. We must prevent our mind from adopting negative habitual tendency. Actually, this one is very difficult to do. Once it has become habitual tendency, it will be there unless you develop wisdom to root it out. So to prevent our mind from adopting negative habitual tendency is not easy unless you have the wisdom. We should protect our mind as we would a pure white blanket or a clear mirror, never allowing them to be covered by dirt, filth, or dust. This requires constant vigilance and constant purification. The word should be purification, not cleaning. In addition to protecting our mind, we must further diligently cultivate virtuous Dhamma. In our every thought and action, we must be earnest. We will be willing to take on any task that benefit people. And this is very good. When we feel that it is our mission to help others, when there is an opportunity to do good deeds, we must carry out this with diligence. To be diligent, we must be focused without becoming distracted and heedless, and continue to advance without turning back. By practicing or cultivating the four infinite mind and the six perfection, in this way, we are heading in the right direction for our spiritual cultivation. So this is a very good sharing. Those without loving kindness must develop loving kindness. Those who are prone to killing must develop compassion. Those who are jealous, you must develop sympathetic joy. Those who are contaminated by craving must develop equanimity. So this one is referring to the four Brahma Vihara. But I believe the Mandarin version is more accurate. Yes, here I realize the English is not so good. Never mind lah. You just read lah. Wu you 什么？
无有慈心起慈心。
嗯。
好傻喵喵啊！不懂那个不会读。好傻。明者起悲心。
秒起来了。
嫉妒重者起喜心。爱染深者起色心。
Those who can understand Mandarin, the meaning is clearer. But I will explain so that you can understand. You see, the four Brahma Vihara is, as taught by the Buddha, is metta, which is loving kindness. This loving kindness means universal love. So he said, those without loving kindness, you should develop more and more of this universal love or loving kindness. So this is to counter anger and hatred. So you got a lot of anger and hatred, you should cultivate the opposite mind states of love, which is metta. Then those who are prone to killing means you have cruelty. You are very cruel. You don't have compassion. You should cultivate compassion. So compassion is the second Brahma Vihara. After metta is karuna in Pali. Karuna stands for a compassionate being. The word compassion is to help you overcome cruelty, violence, and all these things. Then those who have envy and jealousy, you should develop the third Brahma Vihara, which is mudita. Mudita is often translated as sympathetic joy. We must know how to rejoice. When we know how to rejoice in the goodness of others, then others are able to do virtuous thing, wholesome thing, or when they get promoted, we rejoice. Then you will do away with envy, jealousy, dislike, and all those negative tendencies. Then the last one is it when you are contaminated by craving. This one is mainly referring to your desire, your craving, your covetousness, especially those with greed, selfishness, lustful character, and all those things. So in order to do away with all this, you must develop wisdom leading to a mind that is equanimous. Means the mind that has this ability to have equanimity. So these are the four Brahma Vihara states. And these are the mind states that will prevent you from having any negativity of mind state. When you can have this four, you are actually developing the cultivation of virtue. Because without virtue, you cannot express this four Brahma Vihara mind state. So we will read on and we see how the commentaries develop the understanding. The first merit primarily teach the four infinite mind or Brahma Vihara qualities. First is infinite loving kindness, followed by infinite compassion, followed by infinite sympathetic joy, and finally infinite equanimity of mind. And the six perfections or paramita. There are six methods of transforming sentient beings. In learning the Buddha's way, we must first cultivate our loving kindness, means metta. So those without loving kindness, develop loving kindness. In our daily life, if we get along well with other people and are always in a peaceful state of mind, this shows that we do not lack anything physically or mentally. Our lives are filled with wealth. This wealth does not come from owning many assets or having a lot of money. Rather, it's a reflection of our spiritual fulfillment. That is true wealth. Means you have contentment and you are contented with what you are given or blessed with. For example, although some family may be poor, they live happily together and harmoniously. Their children are grateful to their parents for working hard to nurture and provide for them. The parents are gratified by the children's good behavior. The husband and wife are considerate of each other and work together through good times and bad times. Thus, the whole family feels loved, feel blessed. In a family like this, even if they are financially poor, everyone is rich with affection and love. So this is an example of a household. Yet, in the human realm, this turbulent world of sense, object, and desire, people's minds are filled with the five poisons of greed, hatred, or anger, ignorance, arrogance, and doubt. As we interact with others, we may be harsh and unyielding. If this poisonous affliction take hold, we may easily lose our temper and abuse others, and we may even end up taking a life. We often see how to pronounce this word, heinous. Heinous crime, means very serious crime. Reported on the news. Sometimes it seems that society is very unstable. Some people, because they are not satisfied or did not get what or who they want, go astray and begin plotting murder. If we can enable those who are prone to killing to develop compassion and to develop a heart that empathizes with the sufferings of others, this will be a blessing to all sentient beings in the world. In this world, in addition to human beings, there are many other animals. Animals were not born to be consumed or exploited by humans. Oxen and horses are not born to be forced to till the field and to carry heavy loads. But because we have been born into the animal realms, they have no choice. Because they have been born into the animal realms, they have no choice. Thus, we should feel compassionate and gratitude towards those sentient beings who, by being born in the animal realm, they need to serve the humans. We also must learn to coexist peacefully with nature and all of life. If we can constantly give rise to universal love, compassion, and protect all sentient beings equally, eliminate any evil thoughts of killing, and diligently cultivate the Dhamma, we can use the teaching to transform all sentient beings. So this part, I think, regarding using animals to till the field and carry heavy loads, these are done in the early days. But nowadays, I think it has changed. Society has evolved and transformed. I realize nowadays, like my wife used to say, some of these animals, they are really blessed. Because people treat them so well as pets. They keep them like dogs, cats, and many animals. Then you seldom see people, unless it's still backward country where they need the cow or the horses to help them to carry things, to pull the cart and all those things, or tilt the farm. Now there are more efficient way, machinery, drones and all those things. So all this has evolved, AI, and industrial innovation and all those things. So nowadays we don't see people using animal because they are too slow and they cannot achieve what human wants. Whereas in the early days we thought we had to use labor to till the field and do all those work. That's why we think of passing this work to the animals and all those things. But nowadays, we have gone through the industrial revolution, the mechanization, the innovation stage. And now is the internet or AI age. So all these are changing, evolving. So sometimes as pet, you also have to know when to take birth. If you take birth in the correct civilization, correct timing, you can have good life. There are a lot of pets, really. They are very well taken care of. Some of them are really much better taken care of than some unfortunate human beings or living beings. In life, we must learn how to open our hearts so that our mind can embrace the universe. If we are able to accept and accommodate others, we will also feel joyful. This is how those who are jealous must develop sympathetic joy. Actually, it should include the word those with envy and jealousy. For example, when you see people who are afflicted or suffering, if we can open up our heart to embrace them, give them a shoulder to lean on, and lovingly help to calm their body and mind, Then we see them smile. We also feel a sense of joy. When they are safe and sound, we will also be at peace. Therefore, as long as we embrace everything with sincere and boundless love, naturally, we will not develop any envy and jealousy. However, in this world, many people's minds are filled with greed, selfishness, and limitless craving or desire. Those contaminated by craving feel desires for everything, and thus they do things that lead to many kinds of disaster. Actually, both natural and man-made disaster originate from human minds. There was a report on the news about a certain tourist area. The foundation of its gondola leaves had become unstable because of overdevelopment of the area, and it had weakened the mountain slope, along with the natural erosion caused by rain and wind. The leaves were now in danger of collapsing. Why were the leaves built in the first place? To satisfy human desire to view the scenery of the mountains and valley in their search for excitement and joy. Once a mountainside has been damaged or slope has been damaged, it requires a long time to recover. Yet those who pursue profit in their desire to make more money will stop at nothing, not even destroying the environment. Think about it. Those contaminated by craving will stop at nothing to satisfy their own desire. They deliberately exploit the land, which leads to disaster or destroying the peace and safety of the world. All of this is created by the mind. It all arises from a single thought. Therefore, we must help those contaminated by craving to develop equanimity. If we do not go against our conscience, we can act in accordance with principle, with a sense of ease. In fact, all of the world's true principles arise from the mind. Our conscience is the Dhamma that inherently exists in everyone's nature. Human nature is inherently good. This fundamental principle has been passed down since ancient time, and is an inherent truth of the world. Many sages and noble beings, including Confucius and the Buddha, had all asserted that human nature is inherently good. We must believe that our own nature are inherently good, and then act accordingly. Even one thought of selfishness will easily cause us to develop erroneous view. So I often say that we must trust that we are selfless. In our thought, speech, and action, in the way that we treat people and handle matters, we should not deviate from right view, right thought, right speech, right action, right livelihood, the four right effort, right mindfulness, and right samadhi. So this is Noble Eightfold Path, right? And this is the path that leads to the end of all suffering, which is also the meditation as taught by the Buddha. Therefore, the 37 factors of enlightenment emphasize that spiritual cultivation require the practice of Noble Eightfold Path. If our thinking does not deviate from this path, our wisdom will naturally become clear and illuminating. So this is very true. Noble Eightfold Path is the fourth noble truth, the path that leads to the end of all suffering, which is the enlightenment here and now. Then we will be able to see that karmic causes and effects all arise from the mind. So this Noble Eightfold Path is very important. And to cultivate Noble Eightfold Path is not easy. It takes you quite a while. You have to diligently train, cultivate for a long period. You have to understand many things. What constitutes right view, and how to arise right thought and what are right thoughts. You have to learn the opposite too. Understand what are wrong thought first, then the understanding of right thought become easier. Otherwise, if you go and develop the other way around, most of the time they become thought based and you get into trouble. That is not cultivating right thought. That is right thought according to you, your own views and opinion of right thought. But when you understand the absence of evil is right, then that mindfulness that are mindful of the evil thoughts that condition your evil mental states, that is a better judge. That is the one that is ever mindful, heedful to see all this. Then you know what are right thoughts. Thoughts that are incapable of evil without negativity. That does not condition our fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, and lamentation, selfishness, and ignorance. All these are right thought or virtuous thought. So whatever thought that condition our unhappiness, our misery, our negative tendency, they are all wrong thought. So with this understanding, it's very easy to understand wrong thought. Then we will know how to reflect, contemplate, and cultivate right thought. Then what are right thoughts? Thoughts that are free of the evil roots. And then we can actually develop them. Whatever that doesn't arise the negativity of mind state, especially when you contemplate and reflect on all the virtue, the Dhamma, the wholesome mind state, they constitute right thought because they are without the evil roots. And when you understand what constitutes evil, you are mindful, you are aware, you can do all this. That's why without mindfulness, without understanding of the Dhamma, of what constitutes evil, you cannot cultivate the Noble Eightfold Path. So these are important understanding. Okay, so now we will open up for meditation reporting and Q&A.
Bradio.
Yeah.
Bradio, 刚才我听到前面的那个Dharma sharing, 在讲那个cultivation, 修行很重要的时候我就想到我前一阵子 two weeks ago, 我在看因为我现在又看回那个六祖的那个坛经的那本书。
对对。
我就看到里面那个宣化上人的这个他有给 advice to 他那些他的那个 disciple, 讲一定要在这个佛法上一定要去修行。The moment 我看到这个修行，我一读到这个修行哦，他整个很 stand out, strike 我。我整个来好像我整个 strike 我只是修行这两个字。然后过后我就去 reflect 跟contemplate 这两个字，我发现到哦真的很重要哦。如果我们在 cultivate, 如果我们要去走这一条道路的时候，我们一定要去 cultivate, 要去持修哦，put into the action。然后我想他这个修行，然后我想他修什么，修这个行。那么华语我们行还有一个是叫做行为。
对。
行为就是 behavior, 也是说我们要去修修什么，修我们的这个身口意。
对
对。那等于修这个身口意怎样修，就要 based on 这个八正道。Because of 这两个字，我慢慢的去 contemplate 的时候，我就我好像可以整个 relate, 一直慢慢的 relate 进去。然后我就想
Now you understand why I prefer the word cultivation. I don't like the word practice. Because practice is mechanical, repetitive. When you practice something, it's repetitive, it's mechanical. But cultivate is different.Cultivate is to develop the training, the cultivation. to develop understanding of the teaching, the Dhamma, then to apply it in real life so that it can become part of your nature. So you cultivate Dhamma within and without. Means cultivation is both inner and outer. When you cultivate with understanding, you develop your inner understanding, that it becomes a part of your nature, a part of you. Then you express that understanding out. Then Dhamma becomes a reality. Dhamma becomes something useful, important. It becomes a part of life. That's why Dhamma is never apart from life, society, environment, living. So Dhamma and life, they are together. Without Dhamma, you cannot have the true human life or the spiritual life. Without Dhamma, you are heedless. You are as if dead. So cultivation of Dhamma is to develop the understanding within, then it can become a part of your nature, then use it to manifest into real life existence so that you can be a blessing to all. So that is the beauty of the word cultivation. When you cultivate Dhamma, like you say, siu xing, siu ni de xing wei, siu ni de xing. So when you siu, is cultivation. What do you cultivate? Of course, initially it's the Dhamma. You cultivate the Dhamma to put it into practice, to become a blessing to all, to apply it, to use it. It's not as a theory to actually develop your own fantasy, knowledge, and all those things. So Dhamma is to be cultivated by the individual. That's why Krishnamurti say the individual must change. When we have the Dhamma, we change. Then we have the embodiment of this Noble Eightfold Path Factor, like you say. Then you can actually live it. When you have the embodiment of Noble Eightfold Path, you have all the requisite of wisdom, virtue, and understanding. Because you will have right view, leading to right thought, right speech, right action, and right way of living life. Then the four right effort, followed by right samadhi and right sati. So these Noble Eightfold Path, they are the embodiment of all the great virtue, wisdom, and understanding of the Dhamma as taught by the Buddha. That's why that is the path that will lead all living beings out of suffering. That's the reason why the fourth Noble Truth is very powerful. The Buddha said there is this path, namely the Noble Eightfold Path. If you cultivate them, the word is cultivate, not practice, it will lead to the end of all suffering. So what is the purpose of living being, meditating, developing the cultivation? To become enlightened. To become enlightened is to become free of suffering, misery, so that you have the requisite wisdom not to be afflicted by whatever happened in life, in existence. So this understanding of the word cultivation is very important, and you have this ability because you have developed enough of the cultivation to reach that point to appreciate that word cultivation. That's why those who understand, they don't like the word practice. So I always say the appropriate, more acceptable word should be cultivate. So cultivation, the meaning is so much clearer and deeper than just practice. Practice is like you practice something which is repetitive, mechanical, like learning how to play a game, learning how to cook, practice how to ride a bicycle, practice how to be skillful in certain things. That one you constant practice, keep on repeating. But cultivation is not like that. It's not mechanical. It's not thought based. It's not a constant repetitive type of doing something like method and technique. No. Cultivation is to silence your mind, to observe, to develop the understanding, to awaken, to insight into phenomena. But this one doesn't involve thought. It only involves the silent mind that is mindful, aware, that can understand all this movement, all this arising and passing away, the dwelling, etc. So for you to have this understanding is very good. Huh? Sadhu to you, so you can continue. Yeah.
So 我就从这个修行的这个 words 一直去 reflect 的时候，我就慢慢的一直很像把整个的 dharma 一直来一直拉进去，一直拉进去来，它就很像你越来越 clear 了。就是所以，但是我们如果要要走这一条道路的时候，我就想到他，我那个 understand you arise 讲。我讲你一定要有这个face picture for clarity、
yeah.
你我们的这个 personality 里面一定要 fit 要有形象要 perseverance、yeah, yeah. 你才能够去做到 cultivation 所以就是很多的那种很像很 basic 的这一些那个 requirements 一定要有了然后我们才能够因为我之前我也是有一直在想为什么很多人他知道了哦，很像有时我们跟很多人 share， 他说我都懂，我都懂，但是他就是没有去，他就是 lack of 这个 cultivation 这个 part，
yeah, yeah, yeah.
他没有去做。但是你跟他 share 的时候，他又讲他什么都懂，但是他又
that one is knowledge，
对啊。
But what they have understood is the theory, the theoretical knowledge of Dhamma. That's why cultivation is not knowledge.Cultivation is an understanding that evolves after the mind has been trained, after wisdom has arisen. That's why it's very different. That's why when you develop cultivation with understanding and you have already know what cultivation is or the meditation as taught by the Buddha is, then you are not gullible, you are not confused, you are not trapped in all this.So-called mechanical thought-based practices and meditation, then you know what cultivation is. It involves so many things. That's why I used to tell you from the essence of the Buddha's teaching, the Four Noble Truths, the Three Turning, all the other essential Dhamma, they spin off from there. So all these basic essential Dhamma are the tools that you need to actually link them up toenable you to move. That's why the spiritual faculties is to overcome the mental hindrance. After you overcome the mental hindrance, what happened? Your mind is in the meditative state where there is nothing to hinder your mind from entering the meditative state of inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness. So that is the beginning of cultivation. That's why without spiritual faculty is very difficult.You have to rely on method and technique to anchor the mind, to train the mind, to develop just sati initially, then stabilize it. Then after that, use it to develop the daily mindfulness, to cultivate Noble Eightfold Path. They still come back to the same thing. So if you have the understanding, that's why I used to share with you all, technically,You don't need method and technique. It's up to the individual. If you understand, you work on the spiritual faculty, then your mind is automatically in the meditative state. That's why when you have the spiritual faculty, the four support that I teach you is very easy. Straight away you're going. And you are in the meditative state straight away. Because when you have the spiritual faculty, your mind don't have the mental hindrance.So the faith make your mind very calm, very composed. The virya prevent you from sleepiness, lethargic mind, sloth and tapa. Then the mindfulness prevent you from heedless thinking, creating thought, duality, no more. You're just aware. Then the stability of mindfulness leads to samadhi. Samadhi make your mind unwavering, collected. That's why at the moment of sense experience while you live life, as you experience the world and go through life, your mind is collected and unwavering. That's how you can see things as they are in the midst of life, in the midst of daily mindfulness. That's why sati sampajana become very easy. Then from there, wisdom will arise. Then when you can see things as they are, you will awaken. You will insight into the normal. You can be with the moment of its arising, sustaining, and passing away of phenomena. You can insight into the three universal characteristics of anicca, dukkha, and anatta. All this manifests. That's what cultivation is. So now you have got all these things contemplated and developed, then you know what cultivation is going to help you, because your cultivation will become very different. You will be very clear about all this essential Dhamma that you need, and you will go through them, then you will overcome them. Then slowly, slowly, the Noble Eightfold Path will fall into place. That the Noble Eightfold Path need a lot of contemplation, especially the three turning on the right view, the three right view, and expand on it. Just like when we expand on the three roots and the other essential Dhamma and all this thing. Then from there, you will understand the Abhijja Sutta. You will understand the deeper aspect of the three turning, the Four Noble Truths. So all this, they will start to slowly, slowly unfold. Then as you cultivate, you will know how to move into the Bodhisattva way to go deeper into the cultivation, to develop the ability to go into life, to widen your scope of cultivation and understanding. And the only way to do this, to perfect yourself, to become Samasambuddha, is to take the Bodhisattva way, the vow. Unless you do that, you cannot have the exposure, the experience, and the training. So now, the whole cultivation is understood, leading to the Bodhisattva way and all the perfection. Then you go through the cultivating of the Bodhisattva way, that book. I explain a lot of things inside that, because the four basic vow and what we taught you to do on the yellow card, they actually are very important, very useful to develop the cultivation, because they prepare you to develop the training, the affinity, overcome karmic obstruction, have the appropriate right view, lie out the lie whenever you arise, so that this cultivation can be expedited, speed up, and develop until perfection. That every of this training involve the various type of 10 perfection, leading to finally the perfection of Samasambuddhahood, the Bodhi mind that has the understanding that reach the conceal, may consummate. So this is the perfection of the 10 parameters of perfection. So that final stage is the realization of the full 10 perfection to become Samasambuddha, Bodhi mind that realize the consummation of that training. So all these are very useful, very beautiful, and it's really a blessing, sadhu to you, Russell, for you to start to have all this understanding now. Well, this is a natural outcome of your training, your cultivation. Then more and more of this thing will strike you. Then you see Dhamma in a different angle, perspective. You see the whole training, the whole cultivation in a very different way, where your outlook is so different now, because you have gone through most of the essential training, cultivation, and then this will enable you to appreciate all these things. That's why from there, one by one, all this will surface. So my nature rejoices, salute to you, brother Songna. You can continue here.
Yeah. 其实我每次都有跟有时我跟他们有时他们打电话给我，我会 advise 他们就是讲actually 在 Four Noble Truth 里面，如果我们真正的用心去 cultivate 它的整个的那个 cultivation 整个 path 就是在里面了。 In fact Buddha 也有 advise 我们怎样去开始我要有这个 Samadhi， 要有这个 Right View， 然后我们在 Daily 里面每一天我们要去 Contemplate 那个 Five Contemplations， 然后对，然后我们也要去Understand， 我们也去 Contemplate 那种八个苦那个八个苦在我们的 Daily
First Noble Truth Reality Reality of Life
然后如果我们又跟着然后我们跟着
Buddha
的那个 advice 去做那个 three turning， 就是Pariyatti Bhakti 的话，然后对，所以它整个的对我，如果我们跟着这个 advice step by step 的去 cultivate 的话，你慢慢我们就会慢慢的去了解这整个的 picture， 然后你就会很有 faith， 很有信心的。
Your faith is strengthened until unshakable. Because the three phases of Dhamma that you mentioned is very important. From Pariyatti, you settle down into Patipatti. And these two phases is very important. Pariyatti is the learning of the teaching. That's why you have to learn them. You have to develop the understanding. Then putting it to practice is Patipatti. Then when you have put it into practice and you have realized it, the third phase of Dhamma will surface, Pativeda. You get to live the noble life of an enlightened being. That is the most beautiful part of human life. That third phase of Dhamma is really wonderful and beautiful. So all this understanding is very important. They are actually, like you say, roadmap to let cultivator understand where they are and where they are heading. And when you have the understanding, your faith becomes different. Every time you understand deeper, your faith becomes stronger and stronger until it becomes unshakable. That it will drive you to cultivate all the way. Yes, sadhu, that's the way. Thank you. Yeah, you continue. So, yeah.
然后过后我再看那个书，再往前面看的时候，然后那个宣化上人就又有讲说，他讲如果我们没有去就是去真正的去修行，这些佛法只不过是一个名相。哇，当我看到这个名相的时候，他又帅我。哇，整个又好像给这个名相。他讲对对对，然后我就觉得我说如果我们没有去 cultivate virtue， 你所做的这些 dharma sharing， Buddha 所登的这些 Dharma 都只不过是一个 form Dharma 来的，它只不过是个名相罢了。这个名相就整个 strike。
That's why that word strike you. Because even six patriarchs say the same thing. He explained to the disciple of Sun Tzu. He said to teach Dharma apart from the self nature means without realizing the true mind, the silent mind, you are wasting your time. You are cultivating thought-based meditation. You cannot awaken. Because to speak of Dhamma apart from the self nature is like describing the mark. You understand that? The three marks. Mark of a self-cultivating. If you have this egoic mind, how can you cultivate? Mark of others. Then you will have craving, attachment, affliction. These are all five aggregates of form and mind. Then mark of life, like everything is very real. My loved one, my possession, everything, the phenomenal world, all arise. And it's like you attach, you cling, because the meaning is like very real. So everything is no longer the true Dhamma. So to teach Dhamma away from the true nature or self nature is like to teach Dhamma with muck. So all this understanding is very important. So never depart from that true mind, that true nature. If you are there, you are aware, constantly aware, ever mindful. If you are not there, you are lost in thought. Very straightforward. Because man can only do one thing at a time, like I always share with you all. Either you are silent completely without thought and just aware, or you are preoccupied with the thinking, lost in thought. And all this will make you heedless. Means when you are lost in thought, preoccupied with what you are thinking, how can you be aware? You can't. It's either you are aware or you are lost in thought. Means either you are heedful or you are heedless. You cannot be at the same time heedful and heedless. No. There can only be one mind. The mundane mind is for you to use. You must have the wisdom. Then only you know how to use. Like the fifth patriarch told Quinning. He said, this mind, you must learn how to use it. And yet, not to be deceived by it. So all this understanding will surface. That's why when we develop the appropriate right cultivation, we will know what is form Dhamma, what is mind Dhamma, and what is beyond form and mind Dhamma. Beyond form and mind Dhamma is not to speak of muck, not to speak of duality, not to speak about all those created by the mundane mind. Because these are phenomenal world, dependent originating phenomena. They are conditioned arising causal phenomena, no reality. Their universal characteristic is always impermanent, leading to suffering. And because they are impermanent, it's not a permanent unchanging entity that we can grasp onto, cling onto and hold onto and say, this is me, this is I. Therefore, all this can be mine. Impossible. That's why it's anatta. Anatta means non-self. It doesn't mean no self. Non-self. Not you. But there is a human being. There is life. There is existence. There is karma. There is the mundane duality. Yes, all this exists. There are marks within the conditioned world. But when you realize the true mind, the silent mind, it understands that within the unconditioned, all this, like the Heart Sutra says, does not exist. That's why that teaching is very profound, very powerful, and it's very difficult to understand unless people really have that realization of what that true mind is, what that silent mind is. That true nature within, you must develop the ability to realize it, to stabilize it. That's why the five stages of Bodhi mind development. Stage one is, of course, relatively easy and simple. You make the aspiration sincerely with faith to go this way. Then you plant the seed of Bodhi. You vow to take the Bodhisattva four basic vows and cultivate the Bodhisattva way to realize Samasam Buddhahood. So that one will start to drive you. Then after that, you cultivate. That's why the word is cultivate. Cultivate all the essential Dhamma, the perfection, the understanding, the wisdom. And as you develop the cultivation, you will move on to the stage two of Bodhi mind development. And stage two of Bodhi mind development is the Bodhi mind that subdue all affliction. Means during that time, as you cultivate and move into the stage two, your wisdom, your virtue, your understanding has actually evolved. Some of your perfection also that are related to the cultivation, they also starts to mature, starts to like flower, flourish and move. Then when you reach the understanding of like beyond the Arahant stage or the Bodhisattva way of cultivation with more and more exposure and understanding, then you will have gone through all civilization and all possibility of affliction. But no matter what the condition is, what civilization is, what is behind, the affliction that arise, you can subdue, means you can overcome them. So bear in mind that subdues affliction is stage two. Even at stage two, if you don't have that vow and that diligence, no, you can still slide back or regress. You have to go into third stage. Third stage is when you really go the Bodhisattva way. Yeah. But most people, when they move into stage two, as they develop the cultivation of stage two before they finish, they would have realized part of the beginning of stage three. So what is stage three? Bear in mind that illuminate your true nature. You remember? Bear in mind that illuminate your true nature. That is the one. That is the self nature, your true nature. That's why the real Bodhisattva way is those who have realized the gateway and able to go in and illuminate that nature until very clear, very stable. That's why the Fagusan, that Sun Yan Master, he also know is silent illumination, illuminate that nature until it's very, very clear. So once you are able to realize that true mind, the silent mind, that true nature, until it's very clear, that is stage three. After you finish that, no more regression. You cannot fall back anymore. Because that is the one that actually gave rise to a lot of wisdom and understanding. Then after that, stage four is automatic. Stage four is to have the Bodhi mind that renounce samsara. Means at that stage, samsara to you is nothing really. The eons and eons and eons of cultivation, nothing really. We have no reality. All mind make. That's why you can renounce samsara and continue to come as great beings, Bodhisattva. And your cultivation at that stage is wondrous existence, wonderful existence. That's why stage four is very fast, very beautiful. And once you finish that one, stage five is to reach the consummation of the perfection of the ten perfection. And this two stage is the beginning and the end stage. Beginning is stage four. The end of stage four is stage five. And stage five is to reach that consummation, the perfection of the ten paramita. So these five stages of Bodhi mind development is all tied into the cultivation. That's why that true mind, the silent mind, you have to realize it and stabilize it. And you all are very lucky and very blessed because this line, there is condition for my nature to share this and teach this because Maitreya want me to share this. 请你把正法传下去. So without this understanding and the format of the Bodhisattva vow, it's not easy to progress along the Bodhisattva way. It takes very long. But this understanding is going to speed up a lot of cultivators' training and understanding. That's why this is a very important understanding. And I think Sister Po Cheng also wrote to me to ask about this because when I go through the book Cultivation of the Bodhisattva Way, she realized the beauty of stage three. After stage three, you will not fall back, no more regression, no more backsliding. You are guaranteed fulfillment of Sammasambuddhahood. And he want me to explain all this by tying it with the 10 stages of Bodhisattva hood training. They call it the 10 ground. But actually the 10 ground is described in the Mahayana Boku and Sutta. But I realize they are not that important. They are not that consistent in that sense. It's not like what they describe. I read through that 10 ground, they actually subdivide and go and describe a lot about the Bodhisattva's experience and cultivate, but they don't know about the Bodhi mind development. They didn't incorporate the Bodhi mind development. That's why I told Sister Pojang, I say I rejoice with her good understanding, and she wanted me to explain. So I make use of this session to explain. I think Pojang is around. Pojang, yeah, you are around. So hopefully you can listen to this again. It's very beautiful. So the 10 ground of Bodhisattva training under Mahayana is an expansion of these 5 stages of Bodhi mind development. But these 5 stages of Bodhi mind development is the correct one. It's the very clear and precise training. The other description may be, I won't say the word wrong, not so accurate. In the sense that because when you start your training and cultivation, everyone is different. Every Bodhisattva is different. Like for my nature, I perfected that perfection of Adhisthana first. So if I perfect that perfection of Adhisthana first, I cannot be following that 10th ground, the 10th stage or all those things, because the way I move is different. I bypass a lot of things and I am very clear and very focused, and my vow, my aspiration, my Adhisthana is very different. That's why I move through very fast. Then I look back at the 5 stages of Bodhi mind development, I realize this is very accurate. The stage 1 and stage 2 is very accurate. Subdues Bodhi mind that has the ability to subdue all affliction. That one is very powerful. And that is what the Bodhisattva must do. That when you are able to do that, means you touch the gateway already. You realize the gateway already. Then the stage 3 is opening up. That's why the end of stage 2 is the beginning of stage 2, stage 3. Then you illuminate, Bodhi mind that illuminate that true mind, that true nature, until that nature becomes very clear. Then you see very clearly what that nature is and what that mundane mind is. And the two are very near. From that nature, the mundane mind arises. That's why the Buddha say mind is a forerunner of all things. When mind arise, all things arise. Mind is she. Then like Hui Ning say, how amazing that the true nature is perfect by itself, complete by itself. And yet, nothing is apart from the true nature. All Dhamma arise from the... So when you reach the third stage, you can talk like Hui Ning. You can speak like Hui Ning. Because you understand what that thing is, that nature. So beautiful. Then you know what the mundane mind is. You will know how to use them. Then you know the spiritual law within the conditioned world and the unconditioned. Then all the Dhamma fall into place. That's how my understanding evolved. And the 5 stages of Bodhi mind development. The moment I read Master Zhen Yan Fa, Zhen Yan Fa Si, the Fa Gu Sa, he didn't describe wrong. He didn't explain. He just mentioned the 5 stages of Bodhi mind development. But how come my nature can understand and explain all this? It was never explained in his book. That's why without this understanding and cultivation, you cannot. And they pick it up correctly because that 5 stages of Bodhi mind development is very accurate. That is what Sammasambuddha perfection led to. Those are the transformation that happen. The 5 stages are very accurate. So forget about the 10 ground because the description will make you more confused. It's like adding more theory, and you are gullible, you will go and look what stage am I in? Am I in the first ground or second ground? There inside there also they say at the eighth ground, you will not regress. Actually, that one is the stage three of the Bodhi mind development. Mm. So all this understanding will be there. Yeah? So sorry for taking extra time to explain all this, because it so happened I received that question from Po Cheng, I think 2 days back or what, I think after the Sunday sharing or what. Then I rejoice with her good understanding, then I intend to explain this. So today the condition is there. Okay, you can continue, press on. So that
过后我从这个修行跟这个冥想这两个字在recall contemplate 过后，忽然间我 connect to 那个金刚经里面有一个 stanza， 就是那个 Buddha 讲、Whoever see the Dharma see me、我就觉得对对对，如果我们真正的去修行去 cultivate， 然后去realize 这个 Buddha Dharma 的时候，我们就是很像如那个金刚经里面 Buddha 所讲的，当你 realize 了 Dharma， 你 see the Dharma， 我们就 see 那个 Buddha、哇，就觉得哇，真的是很哦，觉得这很 beautiful 然后过后我自己又在突然间我有一天哦，我突然间我就明白，以前我每次去念经的时候，我每次看到这个南无，他们每次会念南无大行普贤菩萨，他们把普贤菩萨放叫做大行，因为 actually 这个华语这个行为的这个行有两个读音，另外一个读是读行，所以在马哈亚那他们念经的时候每次会读南无大行普贤菩萨，然后我就以前我在念的时候我不能够明白我讲什么来的这个，后来就是因为这个修行的这个行这个字让我 connect to 这个行这个字，我忽然间明白原来普贤菩萨就是大行菩萨，是因为他去 perfect 了他那个 circle 的那个 valve， 他去真正的去 cultivate 去 perfect 了他的这个 damn valve， and then 所以他才是这样 unique、
The English word for 普贤菩萨 you know what is universal virtue， he has universal virtue bodhisattva。That's why his virtue is universal. Like he pay respect, one respect to all the Buddhas of the three period of time, all the great beings. He covered everything. That's why his 10 vow, perfection, the vows are very unique and very extensive. That's why when it comes to taking the bodhisattva way,we also follow that the sutta of Pusen is started by her. So all the wordings, she is very good. That's why she is called the universal virtue. Your 大恒 is, I think, universal virtue. Correct, right?
Universal 是因为是他的那个 Dan 他去 cultivate 了他的这一个十个的那个 wow， 所以他就变成了 universal，
universal virtue
对
he has perfected all the virtue and her virtue is very unique one that's why he is called the universal virtue bodhisattva and very rare you can have a title of this nature
that's why 因为所以我就想我才知道原来因为他的这一个 cultivation 他的这一个wealth 他的这个 perfection 所以就变成了他的这个 cultivation 变成了是其中的我们的一个 tradition 这个 bodhisattva cultivation 的一个tradition 那然后我才知道原来我就整个明白 哦，为什么我以前我是每次看到这个我普贤的这个大普，我完全不明白。把沙德利，我那一天就因为这个修行跟这个冥想，我 contemplate 下去的时候，我才领悟这个普贤的这个大行。哦哇，我就我整个就白了。然后我也知道哦，为什么我们在 reset 那个Bodhisattva Wolf 的时候，不是就那是你前面会有讲有两个 tradition， 一个是那个的一个就是这个普贤的，我就明白了，是他的全部的这个 picture 了。
That's why 普贤 is a very unique being， 普贤菩萨，the four great beings they are very unique， even 地藏王菩萨 also， 文殊、观世音，they are very special。That's why our spiritual trip to 普贤's way place， What is the name of her way place today?
峨眉山.
Ah, 峨眉山 is meant to be. Actually, that place, did you heard the story of Hui Rong? She missed that trip. She didn't go. Then she made the expression to go. Finally, she went alone. I think she had very good encounter and experience. I remember she shared during one of the Tuesday class.So this Ameisan experience is meant to be. That trip, a lot of things happened. That's why we were so lucky. After we passed by the landslip occur and they all cannot come up. And we also cannot go down until our last day. We take a detour. We saw the four seasons. Then we were able to meet back and everything fall back into place and become very beautiful. And that trip, a lot of Kayamita has affinity with Pusen Pusa.Even I myself, Uncle Sam, we bought that golden Pusien Pusa, the statue. The temple, they make this and sell to people to raise fund and all this thing. So it was meant to be so beautiful. So when I saw that thing, I knew.And I offered it to my wife because she has affinity with Pusien. And you also have great affinity. Then Er also has some affinity. That's why you cried. Your tears were like pouring until Mr. Er thought something happened to you. I said, no, 没事,钱是赢。So a lot of these things, and it's meant to be, it can happen.Then there are a few more Kayamita that has affinity with Pusien. So that spiritual trip was also meant to be a very beautiful. So sadhu to you, huh? Blessing. Yeah, very good.
所以因为这一次因为我明白了这个南无大行普贤菩萨了以后，我才真正的了解到他的这个它的 unique 和它的特别，不然以前对的，像 Brother 每次你讲我跟他有 affinity， 那我讲，但是我不认识他，我也不知道，我只知道他是一个大愿王 ，but 是什么 ？No，but 因为这个大行让我整个也因为这个修行跟冥想。这个 understanding 让我 extend 到这个普贤菩萨了以后，我才真正的对他了解，然后我才觉得哇，他真的是很特别，真的是很感动能够跟他有 affinity。
That's why I still remember that trip to Ameisan before we went to the something the summit there.At a slightly lower place where there is this waterfall and all those things, the poo-poo and all those things. It was quite late already, I think almost night already. We went up there. Then the whole group, the Kayamita, they all we were up there. It was so beautiful, but it was a bit chilly and all those things. Then I remember, I think it's you came and shared with me, you had this type of kanying, like you felt,something then you told me is it like some nature is definitely Pusien. I just speak to you. I don't know whether it's you or Alicia I forgot already or one of the people.
没有 ，Virgil 是这样。第二天我们第二天早上要去那个 那个半山那个它的中间、
啊、
那个万里、
啊、对对对、啊
啊、在那个 bus station 的时候我 feel 到普贤菩萨在那个万里寺、啊啊、在等我们 welcome 我们
对对对对、嗯、
啊
对啊然后你讲他跟你讲一句话 you are back 你 like long lost、now only you come back、something like that because one of the guy Mita told me is、so they can feel、then they will know、means you have affinity with this type of great things but sometimes because sasana no more then cultivator or living being that don't have this understanding to go the bodhisattva way you can get lost until the next sasana then you have condition that's why when you went thereThat way place, when you reach the summit, you just cry, like very severe grief and all, but there is no grief. It's just the tears keep on flowing from that nature and nonstop. It's people who don't understand like something wrong, something very bad happened to you. No, that's why I told Mr. Nothing to worry. So all this, they will happen and they will manifest.So for your case, it's very good.、Yeah, you can continue. Sorry for the interruption. Yeah.
Yeah, Meridio, 其实我每次在 recall 我们那个、我们去那个峨眉山、的那个 trip 是非常的 beautiful.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
那是很 beautiful. 那个是我、哦、第一次来跟、能够感应到它。
Yeah, but, yeah, yeah.、
尤其是在那个第二天我们去那个万年寺我都觉得、
啊、
我这么样远然后我可以 feel 到他来在那里
对啦、
yeah,
他的 nature 已经 there already that's
yeah,
why
yeah.
I felt it long before we reached there
所以但是我对他还不了解只是到我最近当我明白了他这个、名号南无大行普贤菩萨的时候然后我们又每次在一直 recite 这个、Bodhisattva Wolf 的这个 cuts 的时候、整个的那种 understanding 哇对他 更加的 respect、更加的、就是想到他哇真的十个愿那个十个 wolf 要去 cultivate 去 perfect、
yeah.
哇真的是不容易、
and they are very profound and very unique wow 本身 although ten
对
but very special、
全部都是跟礼敬诸佛称赞如来广修供养然后忏悔业障然后随喜功德
对
转法轮请佛住世、
对对、
然后随佛学恒顺众生普皆回向
yeah,
哇这些都是很、
yeah.
很 unique 的这个 cultivations、
yeah.
跟 virtue 来的
and he vow to have that ability every reverenceWhere he pay the respect is to all the three period of time, the Samasambuddha and the great beings. Then he vow to invite the first to invite Samasambuddha whenever they arise to teach the Dhamma to the world and all this thing. So all these vow are very unique, very powerful, very wholesome, very meritorious. Then a lot of beautiful teachings and vow that she said for. Very good.
就我最近觉得很像觉得是说哎为什么会从只是一个修行跟这个冥想的这一个一个 wording, 然后我就可以 extend 到吼、哦
yeah.
extend 到整个的那个 cultivation 的 path 然后就 extend 到这个普贤菩萨这一边
yeah, yeah, yeah.
又 link to 金刚经这我觉得哎呦这很像、哦、
That's why the Dhamma is very very beautiful wonderful the word is wonderful unique beautiful and wonderful so all this they are all interconnected, interrelated. That's why as you develop the understanding and the cultivation correctly, like I used to share with you, when you are really in the spiritual field, You encounter different things, you understand different things, you meet up with all these great beings and this great beings nature and the way things manifest and happen. Then you can have all this understanding. That's why all this you share is part of the way of cultivator. And you will go through a lot more later on to understand a lot other great beings' uniqueness and possibility. It's very beautiful.
Yeah, 真的是很感恩我这一世我其实跟很多的这个佛菩萨都有很好的affinity 来 for example 来Sakyamuni 或是Sakyamuni佛因为我以前我去India 后我每一次我一去印度的时候我的 no matter 我怎样的 travel 我一定会pass by 他的这个 holy places
啊，
其中一个我一定会住在那一边 especially 这个菩提迦耶我住了很长的时间 then that's why 有一次that's why 有还有that's why before that 我每一天早上我都到那一个他的那个 shine 那个 Bogaya 的那个 shine hall 里面我去 make a vow哎，我才知道原来 Virgil 那是我一次。其实因为以前我去印度，我一直要找一个老师，我一直找不到，所以我就在那个菩提迦耶，我就跟 Buddha 就 make aspiration 讲，
yeah,
我要希望我要找到，原来就是这个那不娘啊卡梅纳的这一个
在
的。但是我不知道，我用华语一直这样子讲，我每一天早上就在那个 hall 里面。
That's how you met Miss Ang and Miss Ang.
After that, 我遇到了北印度 Miss 遇到了 Miss Ang， 然后 Miss Ang 跟我讲 brother deal， 然后我 next year 我就回来，我就遇到了。
对。Yeah, you told me that before. Yeah.
Yeah,
you all were on the trip to Ladakh. That's why it's very strange the way things happen. Your normal mundane mind cannot understand one. All these are the spiritual field, the spiritual possibility. That's why when you are in the spiritual world, a lot of things people can never fathom and understand. Like I used to say. When I share some of this story, people used to say, hey, got such thing, this must be fairy tale. I used to share, say, you really understand what happened. This is even more fantastic than fairy tale. But the way it unfolds is really amazingly fantastic. And sometimes no way, but everything just fall into place, conditions just unfold and fall into place, and it just manifests and happens. That's why the spiritual thing you cannot understand. Even the people I meet is so unique. The nature, the great beings' nature, everything, whenever I travel, since birth until now, a lot of things just happen. That's why your encounter is unbelievably wonderful and unique and very, very special. So a lot of these things can unfold and manifest when you are on the spiritual path with the right cultivation and right understanding. And it's really, like Guan Yin say, 真空妙有, as you tread this Bodhisattva way to go the full cultivation. It's very beautiful. Well, sadhu to you, very song. I think we stop here, then you can continue the next sharing, so that whatever we want to discuss, we can have more time. So maybe today we will stop here. Let us rejoice with all the good sharing and the good condition that Brother Song has brought up, that has enabled my nature to share with you all this, which are very important for cultivators of the way. Let's rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.
Amitabha, Brother Chiyo. Thank you. Yeah, I was listening to what you say.
Yeah.
Didn't expect that you will talk about this because I don't know whether there's condition or not.
Yes.
But since you mentioned it, Yeah, I understand what you said. So the 10 ground, the 8 ground is actually sort of equivalent to the third stage of the
Bodhi mind. But the Bodhi mind development, the 5 stages are very accurate. You speak to that one. The other 10 ground one is, I think somebody else tried to expand on it and describe all those things. Not necessary that order, and because when you come to cultivation, it's different. It's different. Different people start from different perfection and they evolve differently. But the 5 stages of Bodhi mind development, you cannot run on. It has to be that way. You cannot run on. So that one is more accurate. So the 10 ground, forget about it. To me, is not relevant and not important. Otherwise, it makes you more confused. It becomes theory. Then a lot of cultivators want to check, am I in the first ground, second ground? Forget about that thing, because that one is not accurate. I don't know how it comes out, so I don't know.
Actually, Brad, I also do not know about this Bodhisattva 10 grounds, because in one of the mini short video, 189, I think, you mentioned about the 8 ground of no regress. That's why I asked that question, whether it's related to...
That's why I say it's also mentioned in the 10 ground of the Mahayana. I think it's not really from a sutta, but it's mentioned about the 10 ground, or they didn't call it the stages, the 10 ground of Bodhisattva development. I think it's mentioned inside the Surangama Sutta or what. I think they expanded on it. It's not part of the Surangama Sutta. It's part of the 50 Deviant Samadhi. And they described it. But to me, it's not important because it may lead to more confusion. The actual happening may not be in that order. And that one, the emphasis is more on the experience that the Bodhisattva go through. And the, of course, it also uses the word perfection. When you are able to develop this perfection and all those things. But it's more towards the experience now. So all this is, to me, not so relevant and not so accurate and important. Because the actual development of the 5 stages of Bodhi mind is already very accurate. And very precise. So you have to go through this. The other description didn't even really mention any of this Bodhi mind development except ground 8. The 8 ground, they say after you reach the 8 ground, you will not fall back. So that one, they didn't even mention about that nature, Bodhi mind that illuminate that nature. No, nothing. That's why it's very different. I suspect that one is added in by some commentaries or what. So hopefully with this, you can develop the understanding.
Thank you, Ratio, for the clarification. Also, thank you for your good question,
Sanjay.
Thank you.
Listen to this again, then you will develop the understanding.
Okay, thank you, Sadhu, Ratio.
Everything, Sadhu.